paid for my coffee. It's amazing how great that feels to be the recipient of generosity. And some of you have done that. And some of you have received that. That's very cool. And I thought, that's cool on this Sunday morning when this is the topic. That was pretty cool. On a different note of generosity, last night in this room, there were some mission-hearted people that worked very hard on the daddy-daughter tea and heard just great, great reports of it. I think I heard maybe 65% of the people were not from this church, but from community. And you know, that's, oh, what a great outreach event. And what a great thing for dads and daughters who already do know Jesus. Some of you are here. So the generosity of giving hard work, time to an event like that. God bless you. Becoming like God. Today's the last of three Sundays in this brief series, Giving Generously. Did you know that generosity gets God's attention? That's a statement that David Hazard makes in a little book we've made available to you, and there may even be some there. If there are not, we'll order more that our PAOC fellowship put out, leaders and pastors writing from across Canada in this book called Generosity Changes Everything. And it does. Generosity gets God's attention. Miriam and I, as many of you, believe that deeply from our own experience. Today I'm directing this message specifically toward generosity and finances, since the last couple of Sundays Joel and Maureen dealt so well with other aspects of generosity. My ECC family. And when I use that phrase, it's not like I'm up here and you're my you can say that. I remember catching my mom on it once, where she said something about, I don't mean to put her on the spot, but she won't mind. That was bad. She referred to, as me, the pastor, her son, and your church. And I corrected my mom. I said, our church, God's church, of course, but my ECC family. I hope you feel that way. And that's kind of a side note. Maybe you're just kind of poking your head in the door a little bit. Take some initiative, and we want to meet you and help you in the process of connecting with the family. But how did I get there? Wow. Just by a simple phrase coming out of my lips, my ECC family. Anyway, there's teaching moments all over, hey? Some of you would say, please stop. Privileged to be a part of this church family. And today, I've never concluded a message like we're going to today, and I'm extremely excited because I'm trusting that it will be a God thing that will happen this morning. And I've heard a few others that have been praying along those lines this week. It's really cool. I want it to be more than just a memorable experience, although I think it will be that as well. Could we get maybe the door shut down there? Thank you. But I'm excited today. So to get where we're going, let's open our heart to God's word. I mean, very, very solid and really expansive scripture foundation for this topic, becoming like God in generosity. But first, pray with me. God, may your character just leap off the pages of your word and find its way into our hearts and out in our lives, the way we live. May it just leak out more and more. In Jesus' name, amen. God is an extremely generous God. Focus your attention, please. As I read and you follow on the screens, please, just could I ask you, focus your attention on these awesome scriptures. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he, what? Gave his only son. And don't miss that, because that's a message you heard so many times as a kid in Sunday school, if that was your experience. God so loved the world that he gave, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Exceedingly generous is he not? 2 Corinthians 8. Paul says to the Christians in this city of Corinth, he writes and says, I want you to know what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, listen to these words here, but far more. And they did it out of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. So we urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and, listen, encouraged you to finish this ministry of giving. We're going to come back to some of these phrases. Since, Paul says to the church, since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, your love for us, those are great things. He adds, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. And then to the same church a little later, well, the next chapter, chapter 9, he says, remember a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a cheerful giver or a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need as you give. You know, that's sometimes our concern, isn't it? Then, Paul says, then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to do what? To hoard? To share with others. Love it. And then, a couple verses down, same chapter. This is the last portion we'll read from Scripture right now. For God is the one, Paul says, who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. So increase your resources. Why? For generosity. It's a biblical pattern. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be hoarding. Thanks. So that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things, Paul says to the church in Corinth. So two good things will result from this ministry. You do it every Sunday, those that give, or every month, however your pattern is. Ministry. This minister to God, this ministry of giving, he says, the needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. And you know what? I've seen that happen. E.C. Sears is an example who, on occasion, have come to us with gift cards because they anonymously want to share and help and love people in need. And we get to be the in-between. What a rich experience. It's ministry. As a result, verse 13, as a result of your ministry, of giving in this case, they will give glory to God, the recipients, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. They will pray for you with deep affection, and that happens because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Love those scriptures. Many days are needed to prayerfully ponder all these words from God, and I hope you will on your own time. These slides, again, as they always are, will be available on the church website this week. So spend some time. What powerful words about God's desire for his followers to be generous, because he knows that in becoming so, we become like him in our character. And we get his perspective. And our heart grows in positive and loving directions. God's a giving God. We saw that from Scripture. Most of us in this room, we know that. God's a giving God. And again, any of us who have accepted Christ's gift of salvation through the cross have been the recipients, haven't we? We've been the recipients of his immense and amazing grace as we sing. Now, it's important for us to be reminded that being generous, hear me, being generous is not dependent on possessing great wealth. It's not. And that's important to say and to hear, because sometimes when people hear the word generosity, I think that's the default thought many times. They think that, well, that's for people that have a lot of money, who have excess, who have that margin financially. Well, this morning I really pray, and have been praying, that the truth of the Word of God will impact our hearts, our attitudes, our practices. And I mean, that's no different than any time we open the Word of God, right? But again, I just ask you to be wide open and responsive today to the Word of God. I simply want us to walk through the passages that we just read. John 3:16, Romans 8:32. Oh, there's a lot of things in the Bible I don't understand. But the most important stuff that God wants us to understand about who he is, about his character, about his free gift of salvation, about his generous offer of his son. Abundantly clear. Simple. So simple that I think sometimes it's the simplicity of it that keeps people from embracing Christ and receiving the gift of salvation, because they, you know, our mindset often is, well, it's got to be more. I got to do something, don't I? Yeah. No. God's a generous God. So John 3:16 and Romans 8:32 both say God gave. Very simply, God gave. It's what he does, because it's who he is, right? In character, generous. He gave his only son. The cross, think about it, as we did a few moments ago. The cross is God's extreme generosity on display. Oh, we see it in many other ways, but there's no better example than the cross to show us, to remind us that God is a generous God. And we feel, don't we? We feel the divine and powerful reverberations of that generous act and of giving, right? I mean, centuries later. And if you haven't responded and accepted Christ yourself, today might be your day to do that. Pastor and author John Ortberg, who wrote a book called When the Game is Over, It All Goes Back in the Box. Speaking about when life is done. I love that title. He says this in that book: I've been around churches for a long time. Do you know what the most frequently asked question about tithing is? And if that's a new term to you, that's simply a biblical term, biblical reference for the giving of the first 10% to God and to his work of everything we earn as an act of worship, as an act of trust. Ortberg, again, and this is the question he made reference to, the most common question asked he's found in his experience. I wouldn't disagree. Do I have to tithe on my gross income or my net? Translation, he says, is how little can I give and not get God mad at me? Or how little can I, you know, get away with giving? Which really, think about it, it's a very sad conversation in light of the incredibly giving God we've been eternally rescued by as Christians, right? Ephesians 5:1, a little book in the middle of the New Testament. Again, the Apostle Paul is writing under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And he says to those Christians and to us today, be imitators of God. What? How? Be imitators of God. If you want a guideline or a template, same book, go to Ephesians 5:25, right? Fruit of the Spirit, the 9 character traits, as a good starting place. Probably have a lifetime of focus to grow in character if you're like me. But here he says, be imitators of God. And again, what is God? He's a generous God. And so it's not surprising that other places in the Bible, like the psalmist, the writer David, writing in Psalm 37, says the godly are generous people. If you're not generous, I'll stop there and let you make the assumption based on what David writes. The godly, those that follow God, are generous people. And the godly, that's not the pastors only. The godly are people who know and love God and have surrendered their lives to Him and want to reflect who He is in the world. And so they're generous. Did you catch it earlier about the Macedonian churches that Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 8? Did you catch it there? Some noteworthy parts of that passage. 2 Corinthians 8:1. What God, in His kindness, has done, how did He do it? How did God get done what He wanted done? Through the churches in that region of Macedonia. Collectively giving together toward this need in Jerusalem. Love it. We get to do that as we in our global missions giving as well. Different geographical regions that we get to share with. The character of God, His kindness, His generosity was made known, again, how? Through the kind and generous actions of believers in His body who were reflecting His character. Which reminds me something very significant. As His representatives, as Christ followers, we play a huge role in shaping people's perception of God for those who don't know Him yet personally. We do. As a matter of fact, that's a big part of what I hope will happen today at the end of our message. Wouldn't it be great to have similar words written that Paul wrote to the Ephesian church? Wouldn't it be awesome if up there in heaven Paul could, you know, send us an email? I guess you do an email like this, not like this, but and say, way to go, church. What God, in His kindness, has done through the church of Eaglemont in Beaumont. Accomplished through the church. That's you and me, not the organization, not the structure, although there's some of that is helpful in facilitating this. Again, not the pastors only, not the church council leader, the church, this body of Christ followers. That'd be cool if Paul would write that. And for God's glory, and to stay humble in doing so, in being so generous like God is. I mean, that again, it's a God-honoring desire if we stay humble through it. Ushers, I want you just to prepare. ECCers, today we get to collectively experience what surprising someone with generosity feels like. And I know that doing that is not a new thing for many of you. I'm inspired by the example I see in some of you, actually. Way to go. For God's glory, way to go. Today, I've ordered a pizza to arrive at approximately 11:25. Some of you have heard a little bit about this, maybe from my ECC email or whatever. And it's not an original idea with me. But when I first saw it, where is the fountain of all good ideas? YouTube and Pinterest. And you just need to know I'm not on Pinterest, okay? Just for the record. Is it being recorded here, Gary? Good. Yeah, I saw it. Well, yeah, I showed that video last fall of that young pizza delivery guy who, through tears, sat in his car and recorded his the impact of that generous gift from that church, wherever it was. And I thought, what a cool thing to do, to show and reflect Christ. And so we get to do that today. We're going to take a cash offering for this great purpose. And I hope it's significant. We will give in the name of Jesus for the glory of Jesus. and for the encouragement of someone. I don't know who's delivering the pizza. I've been praying for whoever it is, and God knows. But I'm believing and have been praying, and you know what, in these moments, later when the person comes, just be in prayer. This isn't a trite thing. This will be fun. It's okay to laugh, but be in prayer for that person that God loves. They may be a Christ follower, they may not. I don't know. But I've been praying that what unfolds here, again, is a God thing. That there will be a seed planted in the delivery person's heart that will change their eternity. I mean, imagine the possibilities of a gesture like this. What if it turns out that it's someone who has just had really bad experiences in church and has been hurt by Christians? No? Yeah, what if? And what if this today is the day that we get to participate together in helping to shift someone's perspective of not only a church, but the church of Jesus and of Jesus himself? The trajectory of a person can be eternally changed. Let's pause in prayer right now for this person. For this experience, we commit it to God, and then we'll take the offering, and I got a few more thoughts to share with you before the pizza arrives. Heavenly Father, we simply want this gesture, this gift to honor you and inspire someone. And inspire more than someone, to inspire us as we get to show your character to somebody today. We humbly give this generous tip to glorify you and to glorify you alone. Thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come, ushers. And I want you to just give this offering. You know what? I had somebody, and I tucked my offering in here as well. Cody, I had somebody, two people that couldn't be here today that heard about this, give me cash. So you saw me put it in. Because you know what I'm putting in. But I am. praise God. Isn't it good to be free of crutches? Oh, I'm just speaking from my own experience here. But I've got one down there just to, in case. Yeah, this is God-honoring right here, folks. This is God-honoring. God smiling. I believe that with all my heart. So, let's continue on as that is proceeding, as the ushers continue. And then thank you for tabulating that, ushers, and we'll call forward later. Back to 1 Corinthians 8. Remember what Paul said about the churches in Macedonia? Remember, Macedonia is the region where there's a variety of churches, and they were the ones giving, begging to give. I love that phrase. But Paul said about those Christians in Macedonia who are giving, he said, they're being tested by many troubles. They were having a rough go of it. Challenges, difficulties, various troubles, and certainly persecution was in the mix there. But that didn't stop their generosity. And then Paul says, and they are very poor. Interesting. But giving still. Not even their financial, the challenging financial reality could stop the generosity of God flowing through their hearts and their hands. And their wallets, if that's what they had. I don't know how they did that, but. Paul says, they are filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. What a beautiful phrase. Why? Because it reminds us of God. He overflows with rich generosity to us in his love and grace and guidance and provision and wisdom. And it, again, many of you know that from your walk with Christ. Did you know there was so much about generosity in the Bible? I'm sure you did. And the New Testament speaks far more, you know, about generosity than it does about tithing. Jesus commended tithing when he was speaking to the religious leaders. You remember, I forget the reference off the top of my head, but he said, keep doing what you're doing in that, in the tithing and the other things, but add to them these, and he talks about some character qualities. So Jesus commended tithing. So, you know, he didn't toss it out, but listen, the New Testament speaks far more about generosity than tithing because grace exceeds the law. Generosity will outgive the minimum requirements and expectations of the tithe every time. And when someone in the last few years sold their house and gave a tithe to the ministry of Eaglemont Church, in my heart, I just, wow, way to go. I believe God will bless that and that person in his own creative ways. Wow. Paul says in verse 3 of chapter 8, I can testify, and again, Paul, he's a witness. I can testify that they gave, Macedonian churches, that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. The NIV says they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. And some of you, you've stepped into that trust zone through your giving in the recent faith expansion campaign. And that's exactly what it's doing for you. Stretching, expanding your faith. And that's what these New Testament Christians were doing. They gave to the point of fully having to trust God in their giving. And some might call that irresponsible. But if it's God that prompts you to give that way beyond your ability, that's the most responsible, faith-building, kingdom-advancing thing that you can do. As long as it's no mere human that is pressuring and manipulating you to give. That's why Paul says what he says in the passage we read. Don't do it under compulsion. Verse 4. The Macedonian churches begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift. They begged to give. Wow. There was a need. They saw the need. They were aware of the need. Their Christian brothers and sisters, and they really wanted to participate in helping to meet that need. That's so cool. And you know what? That's the heart and expression of mission and worship through giving that I've witnessed in this body many, many times in these almost 10 years. It's so cool. And as you have, and as you've participated in that, you know. And I don't see who gives what. But collectively as a church, there's been faithful and generous giving. Now, is everyone there? Probably not. I pray you'll get there. But what a joy to accomplish God's work. And we don't know the whole of it. When we pray, when we give, when we go, when we serve. Eternity is going to be pretty awesomely revealing. Oh, isn't that humbling? Exciting. Verse 6, Paul sent Titus to the Corinthian church to encourage them to do what? To finish this ministry of giving. That phrase may well be a good word for us at some point down the road as we, ECC, get closer to the finish line in the process of saving funds for the future expansion. And this message isn't about that, but I can't help but think of that as I read this. This phrase, to encourage the church to finish. Those of you that have run long distance, you know that last third or whatever it is. Toughest. Could be that way in our giving journey toward new and more space to minister to people in creative ways. It could be that for us. That phrase may well be a good word for us at some point down the road as we get closer to the finish line. The last part of verse 7, Paul again says, I want you to excel. And this is, again, the Spirit of God speaking through Paul's writing. So this is Paul's writing, but God's words. Let's put it that way. I want you to excel in this gracious act of giving. Have you ever felt like you really wanted to, just in a moment, be a part of giving in some way to a godly and meaningful purpose? Maybe even when on paper it looked like you couldn't or you shouldn't. And yet you just, again, felt compelled to give. That's the grace of God. That's the character of God stirring in you. Loving to give is a godlike quality. And as Pastor Ron Davis writes again in this little booklet, he says, how we use our finances and possessions can move us toward God or drive us away from Him. That's why there's so much about money. I asked my wife recently how many verses she knows from the financial workshop that she and other, nervous laughter, that she and other guys in our church teach the Dave Ramsey material. And I can't remember what it is. She's not here today. She's in Toronto, and I'm going to catch up with her today, this afternoon, and we're going to General Conference together. But I think it was close to 2,000 verses that have to do with finances, wealth, money, anything that relates to that. It's just an amazing amount of references in the Bible. It's an important thing. I mean, it's something we face joyfully or every day, right? Every day. And it's something, of course, that can just grip our hearts and become a god. The Bible addresses that as well. There's more than God merely wanting, listen, this is important. In all of this discussion, there's more than God merely wanting to get His work done here and over there and over there. All good, but just as much, think about it, maybe even more, He wants to get His work done in here through this. Now, there is, for a lack of a better term, a be smart aspect. And it's not contradictory to trusting God in our acts of generosity. It actually goes together biblically with generosity and giving. It's this. If you truly want to excel in the grace of giving, it's fundamental to get your financial affairs in order. To cultivate healthy and biblical patterns and habits of the use of money that God gives you. Things like getting rid of consumer debt like as quickly as possible. Having a budget, committing to the discipline of having a budget and sticking to it as much as possible, and no matter how you get paid or how much you get paid, any qualified financial advisor will tell you that, and making a daily choice of contentment. 1 Timothy 6:6-10, read that passage. About contentment, Philip Yancey writes of a spiritual seeker who interrupted his busy, materialistic life to spend a few days in a monastery. Interesting. And the monk met this individual when he arrived at the monastery. He said, "I hope your stay is a blessed one," said the monk, who showed him his simple room. "If you need anything, let us know, and we'll teach you how to live without it." Love that. John Ortberg again in that same book, we are called to contentment. Contentment does not come when we acquire enough. It's a product of the way we think. He says, contentment, Paul says, is an acquired skill. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, Philippians 4:12. And the reality is that the secret is simply that contentment is a choice. Isn't it? You know that. I know that. There are genuine Christ followers who very sincerely want to be generous, but because they're throttled monthly by a payment for an SUV they can't afford, but they feel like they just have to have. I don't, maybe because instead of working at cultivating, praying and cultivating a heart of contentment. And it's easy to do, to succumb to the culture of accumulation, of nicer and bigger. It's restrictive for what God wants for us. Generosity. Going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Remember a farmer, great illustration, who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. I mean, that's simple agricultural science that we can't argue with. And the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. God loves a cheerful giver. And God will do what? Show his character by generously providing all you need so that he will give you everything you need and, the Bible says, plenty left over to do what again? What was that? To share with others. Because God knows that's really fun to do. And again, many of you know this. You're like I and Miriam, we're wanting continually to grow in this. And God, the last 3 years, God's been working in our hearts in this area. I think even more than previous. And many of you, you're there. What a fun journey. Solomon puts it well in Proverbs 11:24. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. That's the Message paraphrase. Stingy. What an awful word, hey? It just sounds, to me, it sounds painful. I looked up some synonyms of stingy. Miserly. What was that? I'm not sure. Tight-fisted. Parsimonious. I don't think I've ever used that word. I'm glad I just pronounced it correctly there. I can't say I don't know what it is because it's a synonym of, but I wouldn't necessarily know what it is. But I mean, none of them sound like nice, do they? In the next verse, verse 25, Proverbs 11, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. God has established this principle. It's a principle in some circles that is misused and misapplied. The word prosper can be money, yes, but it's not always. The prospering of God pouring on is multifaceted, right? And he knows best what we need and what we can handle. So, just a word. But I'm going to let Pastor Bill Hybels from a large church in the States, Willow Creek Church, speak about it from his experience.
Really, really believe in God's promise of resupply, you'd become far more generous than you are now. Now, we struggle with this, especially those of us who are brand new believers. And I remember back in the months right after I became a Christian in my late teenage years, I had a defining moment with this whole subject matter of generosity and resupply. And it was memorable to this day, 50 years later. I became a Christian, and I had heard in the teaching growing up in my church that, you know, you put God first and give him the first tenth of all your earnings and be generous and all this stuff. I was a selfish teenager. I worked hard, and when I got paid, I used all of my money. I bought a car and a Harley Davidson, and, you know, I didn't want God messing with my hard-earned money. So I hadn't really grappled too much with generosity, and I was invited to Chicago. I lived in Michigan at the time, to hear a young leader talk about his work in Central America. So I drive 150 miles over to this meeting in Chicago, and the Central American leader guy is really courageous and creative, and he started telling the stories of how he's leading people to Christ back in the river areas, the jungles, and he's establishing churches with great sacrifice and struggle. And the more I listened to this guy, who wasn't that much older than me, the more I respected him, and I thought, man, he's doing something with his life. So he ends his talk, and the leader of the meeting gets up and says, why don't we pass the hat and send this guy back to Central America encouraged with some resources that he can invest down there. So I was like, I want to do that. So I reached in my wallet. All I had was a $20 bill. I quick did the calculation. I'd already filled up my car with gas. I could drive 150 miles back home that night, you know, with the gas I had in the tank. But then there was a $1.05 toll that had to be paid on the Indiana toll road. I had to go through it to get home. So I got a 20. No way to pay the $1.05. I want to give this to the kind of this missionary guy. And it's the first time I had a prompting from God about generosity. And I could hear the whisper of God saying, Bill, I'll cover you. I've got your back. You take a step of faith. You give this 20. I'll take care of that toll booth thing. So I was like, all right. And I'm like shaking when I put that 20 in, you know. So I get in my car and I'm starting to drive back. And I'm like kicking myself saying, you know, that was stupid. I should have, you know, asked someone for change. I should have done it a different way. And then I thought, no, God told me he had my back, that he was going to cover this. The more I get closer to the toll booth, I'm like, what do they do if you can't pay? Do they arrest you? Do they throw you in jail? I mean, I didn't know. I was going to call my dad or, you know. So I pull up, and I'm pretty nervous at this point. I roll my window down, and I say, I got no money. I'm telling you that right now. I got no money. Check my wallet. Check my car. Check my trunk. I'm so sorry. I'm so terribly sorry. And she goes, young man, it's your lucky day. I said, how's that? She said, the guy who just came through before you paid for his toll, and then out of the blue, he said, and I'm going to pay for whoever comes next. She said, I've worked at this toll booth for many, many years. She said, I've worked at this toll booth for many, many years. This has never happened to me before. This is your lucky day. And I said, well, thank you. And I pulled off to the side of the road. This is very uncharacteristic for me. Pulled off to the side of the road, put my head down on the steering wheel, and bawled like a baby. I was like, God, this is unbelievable. You spoke to me. You prompted me. You said you'd cover my back. You said you'd work this out. And this was the first supernatural engagement I had ever had with regard to generosity. And it rocked me, gang. Now, you can think it's just superstition. You can think whatever you want. I'm just saying with me and God, it was a faith builder. So I decided on the side of the highway that night, I said, you know what? I want to be a more generous man.
Thank you. I see the pizza has arrived. I'm hungry. Come on up. I hope you're okay. We're a friendly bunch. And appreciate you delivering the pizza. Let's welcome him. Yeah. Mariah has some BP's connections. And thanks so much for taking time to deliver that. I'm going to pay right here. How you doing? My name's Marlo.
JD,
good to meet you. And what do I owe for that large, what did I get? Ham and pineapple, right?
Yep. Ooh.
Any first-time guests in church today? Seriously. Just asking. No reason. No reason. Just asking. Okay, it's the first hand I saw. This is for you.
That's 3229.
3220. No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay. I do know how to do this. Okay, turn unit to, oh yeah, okay, here we go. Is it okay if I say no to a tip?
Sure.
Okay. Huh? Okay. What the heck am I messing up here? Okay, oh, there we go. Okay. Do I put it in now?
Yep.
Oh man, I've never done this in front of like 250 people before. It's bad enough when it, no, you haven't?
No.
I got to get you a mic, man.
That's right.
Thanks. Okay. Let's do that. And then my number. My PIN number. 929. Oh, yeah. I'm just kidding. That's not real. It's not real. We have fun at church. They have an ADD pastor. Okay, approved. Yes. Okay, good. That's a win. That's a win. Yeah, if I could have the, you know what? Come over here. Where's Cody? Cody, come. Just put it down on here if you don't mind. So thank you very much. Hey, when you woke up this morning, I bet you didn't think you'd be standing in front of 250 people, did you?
No, I did not.
And what's that feel like?
That's okay.
Yeah? How long have you worked at BP's?
About a year.
How's the job?
It's not bad.
How's Mariah behave? We'll talk later. Seahawks fan.
I am.
We were going to give you a tip, but are you considering that? 49ers. I can't talk, can I? Bad news. Hey, you know what? We've been doing a series on becoming like God in Sunday morning Bible teaching. And today it's about his character of generosity. We believe and experience God as a generous God of the Bible, and we want to grow in becoming more like God ourselves as Christ followers. Don't always hit the bullseye on the target, but you know what? This morning we took a tip. We collected a tip for you, and would love to give this to you and to encourage you by it. And so my understanding is 2,031 and 30 cents for you. In love, okay? Just because.
I can't believe it.
Just because. You don't have to share tips with the others at the restaurant, do you? I'll leave that with you. You know what? JD, thanks for coming today. And really great to meet you. Oh, yeah, the receipt. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you very much.
You better say that in the...
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, man. Spend it wisely. So when you're in BP's, say, hey, JD, cool, huh? Okay, the pizza will be cold by the time I get there. Kyle, do you want to come and deliver this for me? Yeah, sorry, Kyle, we used up all our tip money. To the back row there, awesome. Yeah. Praise be to God. Hey? Feels good. As God brings JD to your mind, pray for him. Never met him before, don't know his story. I tend to believe that God has a plan for his life. And we got to share a little bit in it by God's grace and sovereignty, right? So, it's cool. ECC, you know what? Beyond what we've just experienced, thank you for desiring not to be a consumer-minded body of people. Thank you for... And this goes beyond money right now. And it's fresh on my mind, so I'm thinking about what happened here last night. Because people who love God and love people gave of their valuable time and worked hard to provide an opportunity for people that have not yet opened their heart to Christ to have his love deposited in their hearts and in their experience. And that happens daily. Through the ministry of and this church. And when I say this church again, you know, if you've been around here, I don't mean out of what happens in the office, although there's always lots happening there. But as you serve and as you interact with people God brings your way and your neighbors, this week, a carry forward idea is just to, God, give me an idea for one of my neighbors that lives nearby me. How could I this week show them generosity and reflect your character to them? Can we do that? Father, thank you for your immense, generous love. We've received it, and so we want to share it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you don't know Jesus personally, if you've never opened your heart to trust him as the forgiver of your sin and the leader of your life, would love to talk to you. You can do that in a moment here. Just tell God, I want to know you. I want to follow you. I want to be your child. There's little magazines at the front called Knowing Jesus Personally. You can come and take one. Just some good and helpful information in there that talks about what it means to initiate. Well, God initiated by sending his son, right? But to respond to God's gift, you can come and take one of those magazines this morning. And if you made that commitment to Christ today, put it on a communication card and put it in the box at the information table. That would be awesome. So good to be together. And remember to sign up. Be generous with your time on that second Saturday of September. So sign up, and we get to enjoy some visiting over coffee now, so don't rush away. God bless you.